this Pelicans team during the disappointing years, during Alvin Gentry's reign. It just seemed like they just weren't either there mentally, physically, some kind of preparation. There was always something lacking, right? And that's just the atmosphere, I feel like, that Alvin, of course, created. And that worked for a lot of teams. It worked for what Golden State Warriors did under Steve Kerr. That works for veteran groups. But, it never sat well with me, a lot of others, that this young group, they needed somebody that was just going to basically treat them with a firmer hand, hold them accountable, responsible. And that's what Stan Van Gundy's known for doing. I mean, look, he'll butt heads. And I think that's why he hasn't had that 10-year career at one stay, mm-hmm. right? He lasted about, was it 2.5 seasons with Miami Heat before Pat Riley wanted to take over, a very good team. But Stan did a great job before he left, moved on to Orlando, did a great job for 5 years, almost won a championship. And, of course, then moved on to Detroit. But here's my favorite thing, Gus. Stan Van Gundy, in his first two stops, had an elite winning percentage. He won over 60% of his games between the Heat and the Magic. I mean, that's among the greatest of the great. When you look up and down the coaching records across the entire league's history. And here's the thing. Van Gundy was the favorite to replace Mark Jackson. Can you imagine if he had taken that job instead of Steve Kerr, where we would be talking about Stan Van today? I mean, he'd probably be in the top five coaches of all time.
Very interesting you bring that up. Ollie Cosell joining us here in the Sports Hangover, at Ollie Cosell on Twitter. He's the editor of The Bird, right? Stan Van Gundy, new head coach of the Pelicans. 4-year deal is what's being reported out there. Ollie, you bring up the success and things of that nature, what he's had. And we mentioned to what you brought up, the fact that, hey, he's had a big in Dwight Howard. And then he used the three-point shots and kind of revolutionized a little bit. Mm-hmm. Was one of those guys that looked at it that way. How do you take what he's done there, what today's NBA sort of is now, the three-point shot, and sit there and say, okay, I have Ingram, I have Zion. How do you think he's going to build this team and what we're going to see on the offensive end?
Yeah, first of all, I have full confidence in whatever route he chooses is probably going to be the best choice. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is, like, say with Alvin, and I keep harping on poor Alvin, but look, he was a guy that had one system, and he tried to plug basically his guys into that system. And so that's why, you know, Omer Asik when he was around, and, of course, Alexia Jensa. And, of course, lately, Jahlil Okafor. There were certain player and player types that did not fit in the system. As for Stan Van Gundy is renowned for taking his full roster and making it work, right? Constructing an offense and a defense that works and produces winning basketball. Mm-hmm. So I think what he's going to do with Zion specifically, and I think this is the best part. Everybody's wanting to put Zion at the five, and I'm guaranteeing you that he's going to experiment with that based on, you know, having Dwight Howard, seeing how he surrounded him with four shooters. But I also love the fact that while he was with Detroit, he had Blake Griffin there for a little bit. So Blake, as we know, isn't a legitimate center, but he's more that big that can also hand the ball and playmaker. And I think that's going to bode well and probably be a good template for what Stan's going to want to do with Zion. So in other words, people say, yeah, let's just have Zion down low, starting with four shooters. I don't think Stan's going to go that route. Number one, Zion's defense was terrible last year. But number two, Zion's got a lot of, like I said, he shows it with his ball handling, his playmaking at times. He had some incredible assists last year. So I think he's going to bring out the best of him and put him in a role, I think, that's similar to Blake Griffin, which, honestly, that's going to give him the best chance to reach his, you know, superstar potential.
Ollie, and I also think, too, because you have those two building blocks and pieces, and Andrew Lopez and I were kind of talking about this last hour. So what do you do with Lonzo Ball? What do you do with Drew Holiday? We've seen some rumors out there as to where Drew can probably go. And you and I have talked about this. Look, he can get you something in a free agent market this year. It's not exactly super enticing or exciting. He absolutely, watching the bubble, can be a guy that can be a defensive piece that a team's looking to win a title. Could you, Milwaukee, right? I mean, like, you can mm-hmm. look at certain things. Now, if I'm Stan, do I want that guy, though, to be there for my defensive principles, because he's a defensive guy, as you've mentioned. And having a Drew Holiday, again, you have a lockdown defender or a capable one. So you don't exactly find those on trees. What do you think he tells David Griffin?
There is no doubt he wants Drew and JJ back next year. And you got to think Griffin's going to heed that advice.
Okay.
Look, I think Griffin has wanted to win on day one, and we saw that with his moves at the start of last year with the talk, right, talking about how they're going to beat people's asses and such, and there was expectation. And then they started living up to some of those right before the pandemic hit. And, of course, the collapse, the famous collapse in the bubble where they went 2-6. But I think hiring an experienced coach, he's basically being brought in to win now. I mean, it's clear as day to me. So, of course, he's going to want to have the best players that he can have. And Drew Holiday is one of the best still in this league. And as you mentioned, for a guy that's going to be so focused on the defense, you want to have Drew Holiday on your team. I mean, it's almost like a must-have, right? Mm-hmm. You're trying to fix the biggest fault with the team. You want to have one of the guys that's exceptional at it. But now you're going to try and create something around him to where, of course, it's going to show the results as a team. And that's what something they haven't done, right? Rarely did they even work with Drew while Anthony Davis was here. But I know that Stan's going to want that opportunity. So, like I said, Griff's probably going to give him to at least the trade deadline. If it's not working by then we may hear some Drew Holiday trade rumors. But I expect for this upcoming offseason, no. I think there's no doubt that they're going to want to hang on to both of those vets, but especially Drew.
You mentioned about experimenting and playing, speaking with Ali Cosell of the Bird Rights, editor-in-chief, about maybe experimenting with Zion there in the five. He and Zach Lowe going back and forth on how the Pelicans were terrible down low on defense and even scoring-wise until he came in there. And look, we talked about it. That was their problem when they played the Lakers the first two times without, Zion against AD. It was tough. Where do you think you see knowing Van Gundy move in the other direction now with Zion? In terms of, do you bring back favors? Do you not? Do you look elsewhere? Like, what's that missing piece to help Zion down low and just the Pelicans overall on the offensive defensive end in terms of bigs?
Gus, that's the biggest question. I'll tell you what.
Yeah, because the Lakers are big and they're not going anywhere.
Right. The biggest thing is going to be that he's going to need, Stan Van Gundy that is having somebody reliable that's going to seal up the paint, right? He enjoys Shaquille in Miami, Dwight Howard in Orlando, and of course, Andre Drummond. People forget. Mm-hmm. He's a great defensive center despite, you know, his other obvious faults. So he's going to look for somebody like that to be an anchor of his defense, right? Stan's had incredible defenses for the most part, usually finishing in the top 15 during the course of his coaching career. So in order for him to, again, have a good chance at accomplishing the same thing with the Pelicans, he's going to need some kind of stalwart down there at the five. And Zion's not going to be ready. He may learn quickly on the job, but I know full well he's not going to want to enter the league relying on Zion and be that five. So, yeah, that's going to be up to David Griffin, right, Gus? They're going to have to determine, do we re-sign Derek Favors? In other words, is he going to be healthier, a better product than what we saw last year? Because I'll be honest with you, if Derek is basically, that's his top level now, I think the Pelicans are going to have to look elsewhere. I don't think he can rely on Favors anymore, even just to give you, say, 20, 22, 24 minutes, because his mobility was really compromised last year. And, you know, he's been in this league a long time. Chronic injuries have crept up. So you've got to think, you know, the odds are not in his favor. But, again, that's going to be on Griffin. He's going to be responsible for giving Stan Van Gundy somebody that can play next to Zion, at least at the start of the first and third quarters, maybe closing some games, that can, like I said, seal up the paint, defend that rim, because that's where good defenses start. You really need to have that in this league today.
Final question for you, Ali. We always talk about changing the culture. I've gone on, and you have as well, say, look, this isn't the Chris Paul era, the Anthony Davis era. The structure is completely different. The buy-in by ownership, Mrs. Benson, completely different. You look at this leadership structure, pretty respected, right? David Griffin, Langdon, Swin Cash as well. And now Van Gundy, a nicely, if not highly regarded person in the NBA. So here's the question that we always ask when it comes to players wanting to play here. You have to change the culture, make it somewhere where players want to go, not only win, but get money and feel like it's the right place. Can Stan Van Gundy, my final question to you, be a coach that, you know what, might be able to open the ears of certain players to come play for them?
Absolutely, Gus. I think with you naming all the main executives for the Pelicans and now Stan, it screams professionalism. And then you look at the accomplishments of each individual even. And, of course, now that they've been brought as a team, it echoes something that's vastly different than what we saw before, you know, the change from moving on from Dell Demp. So I think that's the first thing that people are going to be looking at. Stan Van Gundy's just an extension, right, of that desire that David Griffin talks about. Of really being all about winning basketball, but doing it the right way, the character and all that. And I think Stan has that reputation. This is something people don't really understand. I think today's NBA players really do not want to be coached, want to be basically just given the keys and running free. That's not true. I've heard so many stories about it. Even let's talk about Ben Simmons. He wants to be Coach Harden. All these young greats, Jimmy right. Butler always wanted it. LeBron needed it early in his career. There's a lot. So I feel like that's what Stan Van Gundy can provide, you know, the best. He won't back down. He has played with or had some of the best players in the game and known how to handle them. So I think Zion's going to be eager, Brandon Ingram. And as a teacher, well, you've got to just salivate over what he can possibly do for maybe Lonzo Ball and several others. You know, we can't forget Nikhil Alexander and Jackson Hayes.
Yeah, it's funny you say that, Ali. As we close out, I'm looking at videos and retweeting them of him handling the basketball and showing how to move up and down the court between the legs, spinning around. So this is a guy that's just not going to sit there and point. He'll grab the basketball and show you exactly what he's talking about. And it goes to the initial point of our conversation, ability to teach. And again, it's why you said last week and you wrote about it. It's the right fit. Thank you, Ali. Appreciate the time, sir.
Absolutely. Take care, guys. Thanks.
Yeah, for sure. Editor-in-chief of The Bird Rights. Go follow at The Bird Rights and go follow Ali. O-L-E-H-K-O-S-E-L. Always a fun chat. When we come back, we'll turn our attention to your New Orleans Saints. Head coach Sean Payton already spoke this morning. What he had to say. What are the top storylines of the black and gold going into the Panthers game week on Sunday? It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
This Black and Gold Football Report, sponsored by Southland Dodge, 6161 West Park Avenue in Houma. Here for you yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Southland Dodge bringing you the Black and Gold Football Report. Southland Dodge, Houma.
The Saints back at it, getting ready for Carolina. It'll be the second game back for Saints defensive end Marcus Davenport, who was happy to get that game against the Chargers.
You know, it was great to be back last week, you know, just to be able to go out there and support and physically help, you know, with the game and all that. It's just one of those things, you know, you just got to, you know, keep on going with the time and, you know, take my time, you know. You can't rush it. I'm just lucky I'm still able to keep on going and, I had to take it like that one day at a time.
Davenport looking to get some numbers now in that stat box this week as the rust continues to knock off.
I feel like against the run, you know, I love that. For the most part, I feel like I did good, you know, but, you know, good is and you're great. And that's, you know, not enough. I didn't think that there was really any mess ups or things like that. It was just little technique things that I need to play through to kind of develop again. You know, I just got to get that consistency back and then working in the rush plan.
Saints and Panthers at noon on Sunday in the Dome. I'm Gus Cattingale. For more on the Black and Gold, keep it here on ESPN New Orleans.
This Black and Gold Football Report has been brought to you by Southland Dodge, 6161 West Park Avenue in Houma. Here for you yesterday, today, and tomorrow. The Black and Gold Football Report brought to you by Southland Dodge in Houma.
At Southland Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Fiat in Houma, you can get a great deal on a Ram at their Ram Power Days event. See their impressive lineup of new commercial trucks and vans. Southland Dodge has the perfect vehicle for your business with Ram's long-lasting new pickups or their efficient new Ram work vans. Choosing the right one should be easy. Get more for your business with a new Ram truck or van at Southland Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Fiat, 6161 West Park Avenue in Houma. Here for you yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
Say that once you give him control, he'll own your brain forever. Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Cattingale.
Welcome back, Sports Hangover. Again, the big news, Stan Van Gundy, four-year deal reportedly. Meet a new head coach of your New Orleans Pelicans. The Saints getting ready to get back in action after a bye week. Bring in Mr. Ralph Marlborough at Saints Forecast, the way to follow him over on social media on Twitter. You might see his work on WWLTV.com and, of course, the at Saints Happy Hour podcast. Ralph, how are you, sir?
I'm good, Josh. Can I just say, I am not an NBA expert, mm-hmm. but Stan Van Gundy, he checked all my not Jason Kidd boxes, so I am very excited about the Pelicans hire.
I was going to get into that. I saw you tweeted that an hour ago, not Jason Kidd. You know, here's the thing. Look, we talked about this a lot with Sean Payton and the Saints, changing the culture, getting people to want to come pay here, to the point where you are now. Now, granted, 2006 to now has a couple of years in the Super Bowl in between it, Ralph, but players are willing to renegotiate and restructure their contract, play for less to be over here. And you just wonder when you start building a leadership structure like we're seeing in New Orleans, if that maybe doesn't happen here at some point, you know?
Well, I mean, you'll have to see. I mean, the thing with the Pelicans, though, is can they get good enough, quick enough, before Zion comes up for his, you know, he's going to sign the big extension because every player signs that first extension, right? Mm-hmm. The question is, they got the clock ticks as soon as you pick him, right? And you got like 5 years, and you got to get a championship team around him. And that's the question. Like, they couldn't do it with Anthony Davis. Can they do it with Zion? I don't know. The NBA is not really my thing. I just like watching Zion because he's amazing.
There you go. Let's talk a little about what is your thing, and that's your New Orleans Saints, sir. And we'll talk about the trade deadline coming up, which is also on Election Day, so keep a mind on that. But I love your tweet today about Marcus Williams. He fired his agent. I asked Larry Holder in the first hour, what did it mean? He says, well, probably wants a big contract, and I don't – maybe. And then he said, maybe he just needs a new change of scenery. What did you make of him firing his agent?
I have no idea. The thing is, though, Gus, with Marcus Williams, you look at the Saints roster and you look at the cap issues they will or will not have. And we know Loomis Matt, he's a magician. He can make anything work. But I just look at their roster. They're not going to pay him. Like, I think the Saints made the decision that they're not going to pay Marcus Williams and they're going to have their move, you know, they'll move Garner Johnson over there. And look, I like Marcus Williams as a player. I know fans hate him because of the Minnesota Miracle, and he has struggles to tackle at times. My thing with him, though, Gus, and this is just safeties in general, if you're a safety and you're not getting me 5, 6, 7 interceptions a year and turnovers, I'm not paying you big money, and I'm just going to go get a Von Bell or another type of guy.
Yeah.
And I think the Saints have made that decision on Marcus Williams. They're like, look, we like you. You're a nice player, but like if you think you're going to go out and get $10-12 million a year in the open market, like we're not doing that. So, and I think that's what he wants. And you look, analytics people will argue that he's elite and all that, but I just think the Saints are like, look, we're not going to pay you. We're moving it along, and I think he wants a new agent because he's going to want the big deal next off season.
Yeah, probably didn't like when the new agent said Marcus is just not there just yet. That Saints forecast, the way to follow Ralph on Twitter. You know, it's interesting you say that because there was a play he did against the Chargers. Jordan seen it. A couple other people. I even showed it to some people at the gym today. He literally avoided contact against the Chargers. And what I loved about Von Bell was he would stick his head in there and try to do that. And I'm not saying you got to go in there and, you know, plow the line. But him literally tiptoeing around from a Charger touching his shoulder pads, much less even trying to make a tackle, allowed the Chargers running back to gain about 7 yards. And instead of 3rd and 7, it was 3rd and 1. They converted. They scored a touchdown on that drive. That's the kind of stuff that I can't stand. He just, I don't get it. I don't, it's not even the Minnesota play. It's just things like that. So I'm going to throw it to a bigger part. I think safety play overall needs to be better for the Saints team coming out to buy you.
Oh, I totally agree. And, you know, I wrote, we talked about the election and the trade deadline being on the same day. I wrote a 1,200-word column. I submitted it earlier today for Channel 4. It'll probably post either later today or tomorrow. And, gosh, the trade, you know, the election's, you know, 2 weeks away. So is the trade deadline. And that's going to be the most awesome day maybe of my life if the Saints make a big deal. But really, once you look at the Saints this week, Gus, if you still see they struggle in the secondary, the pass rush isn't coming along even though Davenport is back. Like, I think, not necessarily names that you can have, but you, like, after this week, we're going to be able to say, yeah, the Saints are shopping for a pass rusher. Yeah, they're shopping for a corner. Like, I think we can make those definitive judgments after Sunday or whenever they play. You know, Carolina may or may not have the Rona, so they may move the game around. But I just look at the Saints, Gus, and for the trade deadline, they tried to use Cleveland Brown cap space to get Jadeveon Clowney. And can you look at their pass rush and say that it's any better? Like, I think the Saints are going to be big-time shoppers at the trade deadline.
Oh.
And I do. And I'm going to tell you this. Figure this, Gus. If the Saints make a giant trade for J.J. Watt, what would lead the news on Channel 4? Would it be whoever wins the presidential election, or would it be Saints fans buying J.J. Watt jersey?
Well, go ahead.
I'm here for that. I'm here for that chaos.
I was going to say, we may have to wait a couple of days with both candidates saying they're going to wait for every vote and revote and all that stuff. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, we'll be like, hey, coming up, we'll let you know when the presidential election. J.J. Watt, new member. It's interesting you say that, man. You wonder if they do make a big play in a move like that and try to literally go all in and win now. So it's interesting you said the pass rush would be something of that nature. Do you think they need anything on offense, or is it just literally a matter of what I've been saying today? It's time to put up or shut up, okay? You've had five games. You're, you know, at the end of October. I don't want to hear, we need to get in. It's time to show me. That's my theme over the next three games. Show me you're better than Carolina, which has the same number of wins than you. Then show me you're better than the team that has five wins in the NFC. And then show me you're the best team in the division by beating Tampa. It's time to show me. I don't want to hear any more excuses about communication, about not knowing. You've played five games. It's time to show me.
Well, here's the thing with the Saints, right? You know, they said in offseason, we talked to Zach Streep on my podcast, and he said, look, this can be the best offense in Saints history, better than 2011. And we were like, whoa, whoa, whoa. But like you said, look, Emmanuel Sanders, he says he's got the playbook down. They've got everybody healthy. The question is to me is, does Michael Thomas returning, does it supercharge their offense? And the question for me, Gus, and I don't necessarily think it's a thing of do they need to trade for anything on offense? They just need stability on the offensive line. You know, Easton gets a concussion, Pete gets hurt like he always does. They need to, if you could point to one thing over the last 2 years, besides the blown call in the NFC Championship that cost the Saints a Super Bowl trip, I would say it's the fact that their offensive line is beat to hell and hasn't played up to its expectation and investment in the playoffs. And that's the number two reason why they don't have a second Lombardi trophy. And that's the key to me. They've got to stay healthy and they got to play. They got to play like they're invested. I mean, those are number one draft picks, guys that make a huge amount of money. You know, it isn't like you can say, well, they cut corners on the offensive line and that's what they get. No, no. They've invested heavily in it. Mm-hmm. It's just time for them to perform.
I'm with you, man. Two quick final things here in the last 4 minutes. We'll wind up with a happy anniversary to something that will always be near and dear to all Saints fans' hearts. You mentioned Jackrabbit needing to be good for the Saints to win. Who's a couple of players outside of him as well, and why him, that you think moving on to the bye now, again, are going to start to show you why this team is a Super Bowl contender?
Here's the reason why him. Because you have a Saints secondary that, there's a joke on Twitter that's a curse word, but they call them the no-catching guys. The no-catching, bleeping guys. Because they never get interceptions, right? They drop, Malcolm Jenkins has already dropped two, right? The thing with Jackrabbit is that dude makes plays. He's done it his whole career. He's aggressive. He gets burned. Yes, he has penalties. But when he's playing well, he gets turnovers. We saw it against Tampa. We saw it in his limited play last year with the Saints. So that's why he's a key for the Saints. Like, he's a guy that holds on to the ball. They need him to play well.
Okay. And finally, what is the anniversary, sir, that you like to point out today?
One of my friends on my podcast mentioned this to me. I completely. It is the 24th anniversary of his diddly poo meltdown in count where he lost his mind. Say, go to YouTube, type in Jim Mora diddly poo if you're under the age of 30 and you don't quite know what we're talking about. Jim Mora lost his mind, ripped the entire team, the coaches, everything. The next day he resigned, quote unquote, got fired, pushed out the door. And it's one of his amazing rants. People think of him as just saying playoffs, but Jim Mora has like an entire catalog of meltdowns that are amazing, and that's one of my favorites. On our podcast, Gus, we did it. We did the greatest Jim Mora rant bracket.
Okay.
And he's so good, Gus. He had a rant when he was on Channel 6, the postgame show, where he eviscerated Fletcher that made our semifinals. So Jim Mora is amazing. His rants are just go to YouTube. You could go down a rabbit hole of just Jim Mora rants.
I know what you're talking about. I think it was something about, is it time to panic? You know, after 4 weeks.
Yeah.
I think he went nuts on it. Exactly.
I hate to hear that. Bless you. And he bangs on the table. Yeah. It's great.
No, I love it. It's good stuff. Ralph, I told you we're going to do this every week, man. I appreciate it. Tell the folks where they can get the podcast.
Just search Saints Happy Hour wherever you get your podcast, wherever you get your social media. We'll come up. Check us out. And Gus, we're going to have you on because I'm going to have you on and we're going to tell stories of Buddy D of people that they'll like. I'm going to have you on. I'm going to get you drunk one Friday night and we're going to tell Buddy D stories for the people.
That's all I needed to hear. Well, good. I'm ready whenever you need me. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, anytime, Gus.
There he goes. That's Saints Forecast. You follow Ralph over on Twitter. He was talking about, go ahead and pull it up. Here it is.
Well, what happened was that second game, we got our ass kicked. Or the second half, we just got our ass totally kicked. We couldn't do diddly poo offensively. We couldn't make a first down. Mm-hmm. We couldn't run the ball. Mm-hmm. We didn't try to run the ball. Mm-hmm. We couldn't complete a pass. We sucked. The second half, we sucked. We couldn't stop the run. Every time they got the ball, they went down and got points. We got our ass totally kicked in the second half. That's what it boiled down to. It was a horse performance in the second half. I'm totally embarrassed and totally ashamed. Coaching did a horrible job. The players did a horrible job. We got our ass kicked in that second half. It sucked. It stunk.
There it is. It's all, that's 41 seconds. You can't get more true. There is no follow-up. Jordan, I'm going to learn you a little something here as we go to break. If Sean paid after a game, there's no follow-up. There's no follow-up.
I probably should do a follow-up.
He went through everything. Both sides of the football, the ground game, the air game, the coaching, the players, everything.
Can you expand on diddly poo for me, Coach?
He did. He told you everything sucked. Everything. There's no need. I think literally if I'd have been there, I'd be like, thank you, Coach. That's it. What else is there to know?
Tell me how you really feel, Coach.
Sports Hangover continues next. Oh, boy, that's fun. Let's chat here. Rest of the way. No more guests, buddy. We've opened it up to your phone calls. We'll meet with the Cajun Ninja probably later this week, if not next week, because of the big news that took place, and that is around 1 o'clock the news came out. Stan Van Gundy and the Pelicans agreeing to be head coach of your New Orleans Pelicans. So give us your take. Pelicans fans, I want to hear from you. Thoughts on it. Jordan will go through some of the responses over on Twitter. Also, Saints practice is wrapped up. We're starting to get some tweets as to who we saw, who we didn't see. We'll hit on that as well. So don't go anywhere. Very busy. 28 minutes before the top of the hour when we come back. So Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Fleet Supply Warehouse has been providing the highest quality name brand batteries from AC Delco. Batteries for marine, car, truck, SUV, RV, ATV, motorcycle, golf cart, and dry cell batteries. They have Baldwin filters and more. Fleet Supply has your belt supply needs, including automotive, lawn equipment, agriculture, marine, and industrial. They have one of the largest belt selections and inventory in South Louisiana, located on Venture Boulevard in Houma, or call 985-868-0430 or check them out on Facebook.
Hey everyone, it's Gus Kattengill with the Sports Hangover. If you're suffering from low T, you don't have to accept it. Get back to feeling your best with Men's Total Health. Did you know the effects of low testosterone are not only physical? You would be surprised at how hormone imbalance can affect your daily life, emotionally, sexually, and even sleep patterns. Irritable, bad mood, can't concentrate, can't remember things? Hormone balance can help you be your best self, improve quality of life and relationships. Visit menstotalhealth.net or call 504-777-7590. To schedule an appointment today.
Whether for a restaurant or an online purchase, when you see 5 stars, you know it's the best. The same is true for healthcare. Thibodeau Regional Health System is proud to have earned 5 stars from CMS for highest quality care. A 5-star rating is the highest possible score, and Thibodeau Regional is the only hospital in South Louisiana to have earned 5 stars. Proof of the high quality of care you and your family will receive at Thibodeau Regional.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Picking up an online order? No problem. It'll just be a moment. You know, we've got more convenient ways to shop besides our same-day store pickup. You can also shop from your car with our free curbside pickup. Or you can even shop completely from home with our free next day delivery. Just order by 10 p.m. on AutoZone.com. Getting the job done just got easier. Free next day delivery on eligible orders. Restrictions at AutoZone.com.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Ramsey's has 50 showcases full of diamonds and designer engagement ring prototypes that haven't even been manufactured yet.
Other stores make empty claims and empty promises.
Ramsey's makes fantastic deals on fabulous diamond engagement rings.
Ramsey's Diamond Jewelers.
He's back.
He's like the thing that wouldn't shut up.
He's got his own catchphrase.
He's the best invention since they started frosting Pop-Tarts.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Welcome back, Sports Hangover. Head coach Sean Payton from earlier this morning will play what he had to say about the team getting back to practice. 800-998-1003 if you'd like to chime into the conversation. Again, the big news, Stan Van Gundy, your new head coach for the New Orleans Pelicans. And also practice is wrapped up. Mike Triplett, we're going to speak with him on Friday. Saints receiver Michael Thomas present, but not participating. In the early portion of practice, open to media Wednesday. Get the official practice report later today. Cornerback Janoris Jenkins, wide receiver Deontay Harris returned. Left tackle Teron Armstead, guard Nick Easton, safety JT Gray, wide receiver Bernie Fowler absent. Take that as you will. Okay. So that's what happened there. Jordan, I want some responses here in a few seconds after I play probably one or two Sean Payton bites just to catch everybody up. His thoughts on Michael Thomas. Again, not participating in the viewable portion of practice per Mike Triplett.
Yeah, we'll see. I think he's feeling better. And so, you know, we really don't get into injuries or predictions. So you guys will be the first to know.
Sean, the discipline portion is over, though. That was just one game with him?
Yeah.
And how did he respond to that?
That's it, Mike. Okay. That's it. Not interested in talking about, you know, how he responded. We're getting ready for Carolina this week. We had a good bye week, and here we are.
Got that, Jordan? That's it. No, I don't want to know what he's dressing for Halloween. That's it. Moving on. There's nothing. There's really nothing to talk about. How'd the bye week go, Coach?
Yeah, and we'll see. I mean, it's an important game. It's a division game. You know, you really can't control when your bye week is. We had ours, and you know, we handled a few things that we wanted to address, and now we're, you know, counting on a good work week. You know, first home game. It's the first or second home game at noon start time. So we're kind of on a traditional schedule, if you will.
All right. So there you go. A little traditional schedule, if you will. I got to play this. I'm intrigued. I want to hear this. This is Ryan Fitzpatrick. I'm sorry I'm interrupting Saints talking.
There's a lot of stuff going through my mind yesterday. Is this it? Like, was that, you know, my last game as an NFL player in terms of, you know, being the starter and going out there and playing? I've been, you know, starter. I've been benched all kinds of different ways, but this was kind of the first place other than Buffalo where I just felt fully, you know, committed and invested and felt like it was my team.
Yep. And he went on to say what he basically got fired yesterday. I think everyone's kind of surprised by the timing. Poor Fitzmagic. All right, back to Sean. How about those
if I was him, hey, guess what? I'll save you a COVID test. I'll just stay,
apparently, I'm not worth it.
I'll call you through Zoom.
Zoom. I'll help him on Zoom. Ryan, are you going to help Tua get ready for the game?
No, he's got it. Best 9 yards I've ever
best
seen.
Best 9 yards I've ever seen. And guess what? He knows what a film room is. I'm sure as an arrow. Somebody on this team will let him get in the film room.
Put me a third string, Coach.
Yeah, I probably would have told Flores. I'm like, you know what? Just make me
go
third.
Go bleep.
Yeah,
I'm something.
Literally going to drink all week. I will not be ready. Matter of fact, like you said, I'll save you a COVID test. I'll Zoom you.
And I may or may not be on the Zoom call. It might just be the background of some random person.
I may go that tubing guy, you know, whatever.
Or I might just be drinking while on the Zoom. Might be trashed.
9 yards. It's all it took. One pass completion, 9 yards. All it took. Right there. That's it. That's what I want to write.
Ryan, please come into my office.
Yeah, come in. Nine yards.
Sorry to say, but
hey,
we're going to have Tua start for you.
Look, man, I just got to tell you. That out pass, that out completion, I have never seen anything like that.
If you look to the TV over here, we'll rewind the play for you.
Yeah, I mean, look at it.
He's shown things that you've never shown.
Did you see the response from the fans, Ryan?
Anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Poor Ryan.
Back to the important things, and that is having a whopping 3,000 Saints fans in the stands.
Gosh, I don't know. It's good to see that obviously both teams worked together and came up with a plan, not just for this game, but for the upcoming schedule. It's hard to gain an idea without really seeing, you know, each week. I think it's great that we'll have more and more fans there safely, I might add, and we'll kind of go from there.
Whatever. Should have gone to Baton Rouge. That's how I feel.
You just wanted
25,000 or 3,000. Like, the most that can happen is the end of the year with the Vikings, and I think it was 12. That's if everything goes according to plan, every game can increase.
Well, obviously 12. They couldn't have done it, or they'd be doing it.
I told you they could.
Then why are
and
they
doing
it? I know
we got that one tweet that said, well, you have different hash marks. Stop it.
It's the hash marks.
Stop it.
It's the paint on the field. That darn paint.
Stop it.
That darn paint.
Yeah, up until Yulman got beat, built, Tulane and other college games played on the same artificial surface that had multiple hash marks everywhere.
Hey, what did you just say?
What?
Artificial.
Whatever. So congratulations to the randomly selected 3,000 season ticket holders that are weighed by years as a season ticket holder that will get selected to go. You'll be notified if you're in that number for Sunday soon.
Did they actually put, if you're in that number?
No, Doug Mouton tweeted that.
That would have been a really good, well, that really was, even though it was by Doug Mouton. Really good play on words.
Whatever.
Oh, how I want.
I'd rather stay home. I mean,
So you don't want to be in that number?
No, I'm kind of fine at home, to be honest with you.
But if it was in Tiger Stadium, you want to be in that number?
Absolutely. Why? Yes, because it's outside. I would much rather be.
What if it's raining that day?
Oh, you're going to melt there?
I don't know, but the way you said it, don't call me pudding.
A little water drop going to get in your eyeball. You can't
pudding.
See. I couldn't see that Drew Brees interception. It was water.
Wow.
What?
Drew Brees interception?
No, I said touchdown reception.
Wow.
I said touchdown reception. That's what I said.
All right, Atlanta Falcon.
Well, it's because
Falcoholic.
I was leading into Sean Payton talking about the lack of turnovers from his defense. Sure.
Well, it's a good question. We just going through the numbers, we're plus one as a team, which puts you right in the middle of the pack. We've had our hands on a few, and yet I think overall we can play better teams. It starts with third down. That starts with red area. In those areas, we're doing some things well. We've improved in some areas, and yet, there's usually a combination. There's usually more QB pressure, more hurries lead to deflected passes, intercepted passes, forced fumbles. So hopefully we can see that improve here in the next few weeks.
That is true. It brings up a very good point. You don't really see that many turnovers coming right now from the Saints defense, and that took all of about 10 seconds during that bite. Somebody text me. Gus, the reason they want to play in the dome in the fans is because outside – Drew Brees' balls are
going
to flutter.
Oh, we're going this route again.
Wait, but no, they went full meteorologist. Said once the cold fronts start coming in, the wind can knock down the 10-yard throws to 5-yard throws.
Cold front? It's October 21st.
I'm just saying that's where we are in the Drew Brees era.
80 degrees
outside
right now?
There's people that can't believe he can throw a pass outdoors. Here's the problem.
The coldest it's probably going to get is 60 degrees.
Here's the problem.
Come on.
Guess where two of the next three games are going to be?
Yeah, Chicago.
Outside.
Yeah, the Bears.
Well, maybe the thin air in Denver can make that 10-yard pass a 20-yard pass.
That is true.
That is true. Go deep. Atlanta may have the roof open. The air might get to it. Oh, at Philly. Oh, that's windy. It's windy out there on the river.
Kansas City.
Yeah. Let me tell you something.
See how it gets chilly in Kansas City?
It's going to be here, Kansas City.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah, there's no at before Sorry. Kansas City.
Sorry, I messed up. I messed up. That's my fault. Well, usually, since I'm not, I haven't been able to go to the games.
I mean, it took 10 seconds while the bite was playing. Bloop, bloop. Gus, they want to play indoors so he can throw. Stop it. He's not at that point, huh? I mean, his arm is not there.
I mean, like you were saying.
Literally, where a gust of wind is not going to knock down his throw. Come on.
I will agree. Denver, man, his arm
going
is going
bombs
to.
Away. Bombs away.
Is going to be 10 years younger
than.
Thin air.
Absolutely. That's where we are. Sean Payton on preparing with the team that in name's familiar. But Jordan, as you would know, brand new head coach, brand new offensive coordinator, brand new staff over there. Who's this? Who's that? Who's what? New quarterback.
Yeah, I just finished with our team meeting. This season's Carolina Panthers is entirely different than what we've known for years, you know, under Coach Rivera. And obviously, Coach Rule's there now. So we're seeing an entirely different defensive structure with new faces, an entirely different offensive structure. Now, granted, from an offensive standpoint, there's some similarities, but it's not – what we've had prior when we faced Carolina. So new offense, new defense, new coordinators, obviously new head coach, that goes without saying. And so that's where the preparation lies. The film, the players themselves, and then what they're doing within the scheme, and then what they're doing in the kicking game.
All right, that's head coach Sean Payton from this morning. Wanted to get that through you in case you missed it when we played it earlier in the show. When we come back, we'll wrap up with more talk about Stan Van Gundy becoming your new Pelicans head coach. Shams reporting a 4-year deal. Will Guillory, the Athletic, saying 9 candidates were in the running. David Griffin deciding on Stan Van Gundy. Want your takes? You got a whole segment. You want to chime that in? Sports Hangover at ESPN New Orleans.
Right, child. Avenue Wine and Spirits has one of the largest and most diverse wine and spirit selections in the city. At 2025 St. Charles Avenue, Avenue Wine and Spirits has some of the rarest bourbons, wines, and Japanese whiskeys, like 18-year-old Yamasaki. Avenue Wine and Spirits sells wine by the glass, and they've got free delivery for orders over $20. Dial 504-522-3864. Never show up empty-handed to a watch party again. Avenue Wine and Spirits, 2025 St. Charles Avenue.
When it comes to planning for the financial independence of you and your family, you just can't afford to be wrong. If you're within 10 years or less of retirement, the opportunities to adequately provide for your future are becoming less and less. We guide clients to make suitable investment decisions to pursue their goals once their earning years are over. For a confidential, no-obligation evaluation of your financial goals, contact me, Raleigh Galliano, today at 325-6500. Galliano Wealth Management Group, advice you can trust. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA, SIPC.
When you need health-related answers quickly, you want the fastest, safest results possible. That's why Terrebonne General Medical Center is the only facility in the state to offer the new GE Revolution Frontier Gen 2 CT scanner. This breakthrough technology presents medical professionals with the clearest images on the market while keeping patients safe and comfortable. To learn more about how TGMC is on the leading edge of healthcare, please visit tgmc.com.
Progressive presents The Sounds of the Old World.
The year is 2019, and someone is waiting for the previews to start in a movie theater.
Hey, you want anything? Popcorn? Soda? No, nothing.
This has been The Sounds of the Old World.
Brought to you by Progressive, where drivers can still switch and save like it's 2019.
Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Mom, I think this doll I found in the attic is cursed.
No, its eyes are just very lifelike.
Then why does its head keep spinning?
Be my friend forever.
Oh, that is scary.
You know what's really scary? Missing out on Geico's easy-to-use mobile app. You can manage your Geico policy whenever, wherever, wherever.
Let's play with another doll. Or we can just bury it deep in the ground.
Happy Geico-ween. Download the industry-leading Geico app today.
That man's got some stones.
Believe me, he is no wuss.
His legend lives on.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Welcome back, Sports Hangover. Tomorrow, coming up on the show, Jordan Kleber actually doing his job. Who we got tomorrow?
Yeah, we have Dante Marchitelli, and he's the Orlando Magic sideline reporter for Fox Sports Florida. So he was covering the team during the 2009 run where Stan Van Gundy was the head coach of the Orlando Magic when they went to the NBA Finals.
Yeah, so we're trying to paint that picture for you as to what you possibly can say. Dwight Howard was the big there. And again, the Ringer wrote a big piece on it about providing 4 3-point shooters with Howard in the middle, things of that nature. So why not have that as well? 800-998-1003. We go off the air at 58. You got until then to chime in. I want to hear from Pels fans. What do you think? A couple of responses over on social media.
Yeah. When asked, give us your thoughts on the hiring of Stan Van Gundy, the West Bank Hoodat said, let's dance. Chip says, love it. Great teacher / communicator, perfect fit. Jason, can't be worse.
There you go.
Saints true. Bye-bye, Zion. I don't know what that means.
Oh, bye-bye, Zion.
Yeah,
what are you
I wanted to
about?
Respond to him, but yeah. I didn't want to do it on this.
Yeah, okay.
Jonathan Smith, love it. Really defensive-minded coach that I wanted. Offense is going to come, but defense was a problem last year. Excited. Can't wait for the season to start.
Lee, thank you for giving us a buzz. Cajun Goat, you're on the on-deck circle. Hello, Lee. How are you this afternoon?
That's good, man. You know, I thought of the candidates that they had, that he was the best one for the job. And I like the fact that he's defensive-minded. And the podcast you guys play, man, shows his ability to assess the team. He's not even in the team. Sometimes it's best to be outside the forest to assess the forest, you know? I think by him being able to assess from the outside, gives him a really good blueprint, and I think that really impressed David Griffin. I think he was the leader in the clubhouse all along, and I just think that they went